Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How are y'all? I am not Tony, as you can tell, but thank you guys for being here anyway. Happy New Year to everybody. I hope everybody's been having a wonderful holiday season. Just a show of hands real quick, if you're feeling brave. Anybody have a good 2019? 27 people, thank you for your bravery. We are with you, and I'm so glad y'all had a great year, guys. Some of us didn't. It's been a weird time to be human, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. So today, before we get started, if y'all are cool with it, we're going to do a little recap of 2019 just to see some of the weirdness we got up to. What's our first one up there? Oh, Lord. My childhood is a lie and Aunt Becky is a criminal. I thought for sure Uncle Danny would have been the one to go to jail, but he definitely is not. And we mourn her. What's the next one? Okay. So the internet is a weird place. They're probably not rednecks. Nevada, they're redneck enough. This is some redneck tendencies. Let's own them. So a bunch of people on the internet decided to raid a military base. This is genius. So yeah, that's our weird people. What's our next one? This is not Baton Rouge after the win last night. That was so cheap. The cheap applause line. No, this is the protest that's been going on in Hong Kong since June. So we've got some work to do for our activists. These guys have a staying power. You guys know the number one Googled thing? That's this decade, by the way. Google became a verb this decade. You're welcome. You guys know the number one Googled thing this past year? Anybody? You can shout it out. Heard impeachment? No. Pizza. You said pizza. I'm sorry. No, number one most Googled term, Disney Plus, baby. It's wonderful. And if you guys haven't seen the one with the crazy person who climbs without a rope with just his little fingers, 3,000 feet, man, that's some unique crazy. But no, it wasn't because of that. It's because Disney Plus gave us, bask in his glory, water's edge. That is the cutest thing I've ever seen. If you differ, we can pray about it later. But Baby Yoda is the best. Let's actually keep his face up there because there were some not so savory things that happened this year, and he's going to give us cute vibes while we talk about the not fun stuff. Cool? So it seems that like terrorism is just a word we use every day now. Whether it be internationally, there was some crazy bombings that went across all of the world. Or even domestically with the gun violence that we've experienced. I've always been a little afraid to go to Walmart because of the people at Walmart. But this year, it got a little different. There was a heavier feeling. We've had natural disasters out of control, the worst storms I've ever seen in my entire life. And there's this tribalism, this us versus them mentality that has infected not just us, but around the world. You look at our politics, Democrats versus Republicans, or Brexit, the government in India right now going through some major changes. It seems that it's not just us, good news, it's everybody, bad news. But you know what a Democrat and a Republican have in common? This isn't a joke, by the way. They both worry about their kids. They both love their loved ones. They both probably lost somebody that's really close to us. It seems that pain is the one thing that we all have in common. It's ubiquitous. It's tied to this life experience. And some people have said that life is suffering. And sometimes it feels like they're right. Even like how we're born. You know who's having a good time in the birthing suite? Nobody. Mama, not having a good time. Baby, not having a good time. Dad, less. I mean, it's, you know what? No, I'm going to stand up for the dads real quick because nobody ever gave me a class how to cut a wet noodle with curved scissors. And if you haven't been there, that's a weird situation. My first try, I didn't get through all the way, and I thought I was done, and then I got a quick lesson from the doctor. But nobody's having a good time. We come into this world through suffering. If you fast forward a little bit, I went to a 3-year-old birthday party this weekend, and it was beautiful. But at the 3-year-old birthday party, 3-year-old playing with a red ball. Their friend, also 3 years old, playing with a purple ball. Friend with the red ball wants the purple ball as well, so she takes it And this really upsets the other one. And this one doesn't really mind that much. I see no reason why you deserve any balls. These are all for me. Thank you very much. And then the parents try to swoop in with logic, but all the parents can know that children don't respond to logic. And the church said,
amen.
Fast forward a little bit. Real story, by the way, fifth grade, coming home from school. I was at lunch, and my entire world crumbled. So much so that it made it into a sermon, God knows how many years later. But I come home from school, you know when you're not really crying or breathing, but you're trying to talk at the same time? Mama, what? What's going on? Lauren Brown called me Luke the Duke. And I didn't know that Duke meant royalty at the time. I just thought it sounded like Dookie, and I didn't want to be called that. And we're laughing, but at the time, it was so miserable. Like, somebody that I really appreciated talked to me in that manner and called me royalty. I was a dumb child. Or fast forward a little bit more. Y'all remember knowing everything at the age of 16? Oh, wasn't that sweet? I miss those days, man. I was 16 years old when I found out that my high school sweetheart and I weren't really going to get married like we promised each other. That was devastating, guys. At the time, it was very real to me, but all us adults are like, hang in there, baby, because it gets way worse. You're jaded. You're all jaded. But suffering, it's something that unites every single one of us. We're all going to have it. If you're not having it now, hold on, baby. And there's some people today that are maybe going through suffering right now, maybe going through deep pain right now, especially in the holidays. It's not always what we want it to be. It's not always what we need it to be. It's a time of pain. And if you are going through that time right now, I'd like to say to you, to us, rather, that I love you, and it's okay, and God's with you, and I'm with you, and you're vital. And I know that sometimes your suffering and your pain might feel like it's too much, but you are not too much, and we would like you to stay around. We would like for you to stick around. And if the people in your life make you feel like you are too much and not your pain, get new people, because you're worthwhile and you're loved. And give it up. But what can be done about this pain? What can be done about this suffering? I'm glad you asked. Good job, everybody. Throw that first scripture up on the screen. And going a little farther. So this is Jesus. He's about to be brought to the cross. He's about to endure the most horrific pain he's ever experienced in his entire life, both emotionally and physically. Knowing this, he's in the garden just before, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as you will." So I found this really, really interesting. Jesus, knowing that something had to give, God, they're going to kill me. They're going to harm me. You're my Father, and you're supposed to protect me. And yet, here I am asking you, God, something's got to change. Something's got to give. And something did change. Jesus, knowing that his circumstance could not, he changed the only thing that he could. His will. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. This is too much. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Now, what's so interesting in this moment is Jesus was honest about his hurt. Jesus was honest about his pain. He was honest with his Father and anybody in earshot what was actually going on right now. This is too much. I can't do this. Sometimes we like to do this phony holiness for church and Facebook, where we pretend that everything's okay, like we're not actually crying on our way home, like we didn't get screamed at by the person we love the most, like we're not walking through our relationships like zombies. No, just me? That's cool. But Jesus was honest with his pain, and he labeled it, and he dismissed it. He let it go. So I have a fun game, confession. I'm pretty emotional, guys. Like, I don't think I've not made through one episode of Dancing with the Stars. What's it called? So You Think You Can Dance. Haven't made it through one time without crying. Really emotional dude, man. Ballet just gets me every single time. And whatever I'm feeling, I know, it's big beard, loves ballet. whatever I'm feeling in the moment, 100%. All the way, that is the only thing that I'm feeling. Well, and I can tell you that this works, and it's a little bit crazy, but you're here with us, so you're probably a little crazy too. So welcome. Hope it helps. This is a game called Hello Panic. And I know it works because I had to do it yesterday, writing this message. There comes time. You ever experience an emotion, feeling, thought, that if you don't tend to it right then, let's say, for instance, you're walking through the hallway at work, you pass by somebody, they don't say hello, and immediately in that moment, you feel a thing, and instead of tending to the thing, well, they must have talked to so-and-so, and if they talked to so-and-so, that means they think this, and then you're driving home from work enraged, saying, screaming, like, it's all her fault. Anybody? No? Yes. But if we tend to our emotions in that moment, what happens is we start a storyline. So a feeling happens, and your brain, to save CPU, to save bandwidth, cuts a corner. So, okay, cool, you're feeling this, and the last time you felt this, this happened, so this is definitely going to happen. And it jumps right there. However, hello, panic. So like a little baby, I pretend that panic is outside of me, like it's something that is not me, and I change my posture and my voice, and like I'm talking to a child, hello, panic, it's okay, I know you're scared. I'm driving right now, and I appreciate all the help you're trying to give me, but it's completely unnecessary. It doesn't have to be panic. It can be sadness. It can be anger. But in that moment, make ridiculous your emotions, because sometimes they are, guys. We don't need to pay attention to every fleeting thought and whim that we have all the time. But if we label it and we dismiss it, we're good to go. Sometimes I don't catch it. Brittany comes into the room for me, and you can ask her after church, hello, panic. It's okay. Everything's okay. And that really helps me use it. It's super fun, guys. It really, really is. Throw that next scripture on the screen. So fast forward a little bit from the garden. Jesus is enduring the very thing that he feared the most. That panic, that Father, if it be your will. Well, it's coming true. It's coming to pass. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the moment of Jesus' greatest pain and his greatest suffering, he was not consumed by the suffering, but he looked beyond it to what the suffering was doing. What purpose is there in this pain? What purpose is in my pain? What am I learning from this? How is this a curriculum for me to move forward in this life? Jesus stepped behind the pain. He transcended it. It's even in our language. We say, man, I'm really in pain. And there's that visual of being encapsulated by your experience. And on the outside, there's your pain. But that's not your identity, is it? You're beyond that. You're deeper than that. So Jesus refused to be eaten by his experience. He refused to be caught up by his experience. And he asked the question, what is the purpose of this pain? And he submitted to the will of the Father in that moment. We can do that. We can do that right now. No good story ever started with, well, I got a new job and they paid me double from what I used to do, and then they only needed me to come in 3 days a week. I got a brand new relationship. Everything was wonderful. And then I won the lottery. That's not a real thing. But if you ask anybody in this room, tell me the time you learned the most about what it is to be follower of Christ, human, whatever. Normally, and if we're all really honest, normally it starts with pain. Normally it starts with something, well, I lost somebody really close to me, but then God showed up. I was preparing for this sermon, and a friend of mine from The Voice, who I haven't talked to since The Voice, called me. And he said, hey man, I just need to talk to somebody. And I was like, cool, what's going on? He was like, well, I just got out of ICU. I lost all of my friends. I lost my job, and God's never been better. I was like, what? What? But really, it took the suffering in his life for him to realize the people that he was surrounded by weren't really his friends. The relationship he was in wasn't really out for his benefit. And the very thing, the job that he lost, ended up becoming something even better. And now he's one of the greatest real estate agents in Atlanta. If you guys need any property, holler at me. My buddy Terrence can hook you up. But this is real life. This just happened the other day. And this is how our lives happen. So when that pain is happening, when that suffering is happening, can we step behind it like Christ did and ask, what's the purpose to it? What can I learn from this? There's something going on right now behind the scenes, and I want to be a part of it. There's a scripture in the New Testament in which Paul says, I die daily. When I was a kid, I was like, neat. Sign me up, baby. This whole Christian thing sounds amazing. It doesn't sound fun, does it? I die daily. And I used to think it was one of those self-flagellatory things where, like, you know, we're going to be hated for all of all men for his name's sake. But I think it's more interesting the older I get. You see, I believe that Paul believed, as I believe, that you carry the image of God inside of you. We're all created in his image, yes. I believe that Paul believed, as I believe, that you have been given the Spirit of God freely. I believe that Paul believed, as I believe, that at your deepest part, in your deepest core, when you strip away all these layers of who we think we are, the very thing that is left is the image of God on your very soul. Unfathomable, ineffable, undying, and unborn is who you are. It's who Jesus thinks you are. It's who I think you are. So your identity is not that of Mark or Joe, Bill or Cindy, but of Jesus the Christ. And sometimes there's a pain so great and so unbearable that it feels like a part of us has to die. A part of us does die. And we know this in our experience to be true. Think back on those moments of suffering. Yeah. When you remember who you used to be, and now it's all different. This is BC. That was AD. This is BC. It's all different. Reverse that. You know what I mean. And there is something that dies, but I would like to suggest that that thing that dies is actually the conceptual model of yourself that couldn't bear it. This is unbearable. This is too much. God, I can't do it. And yet, here we are. Doing it. So yeah, something has to die. That old version of you. And we do die daily. You see, in this broken world, we take on aspects of ourself. We take on ideas about us that aren't really us. That core identity, that real image of God, they're not really us. And I believe that suffering is actually the grace of God to liberate us from those weights. And we live, and we live, and who I thought I was, with every pain, with every hardship, gets knocked off a little bit more, gets removed a little bit more in these aspects of ourself that aren't really our identity. And then in the end, if we stay conscious to it, if we don't avert our eyes from our suffering, if we're willing to label it, if we're willing to be honest with what we're going through right now, we can die well, and we can die well. And then in the end, there's nothing left to die. There's no one left to die. It's just you and the creator of the universe. There's a Franciscan priest named Richard Rohr, who I love. And he says in his book that God comes to us disguised as our very lives. That God comes to us in his infinite mercy, in his infinite grace, in his infinite wisdom. Disguised as our very lives, knowing that there is a curriculum here. There are things that I need to learn. There are things that we need to learn. There are things we need to get through. He sees, you see, down the road, the resilience you're going to need. He sees all of the things that we're going to end up going through, and he prepares us. There's a curriculum at play here, and I believe that God comes to us disguised as our lives. Amen. So at the end of the year, most people like to get these affirmations for the next year. I've got my New Year's resolution. I've got these phrases that I'm going to keep in my mind to motivate me. New decade, even. I would like to challenge you today, Water's Edge. I would like to challenge you to say yes, thank you to God. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe that you'll do it again. Let the King of my heart. What if we believe these things? What if all things really do work together for the good? What if suffering does produce patience, which does produce hope? What if the Bible means what it says? Can we trust God? Can we trust God when it's not fun? Can we trust God when we're winning and when we're losing? Can we say yes, thank you to what God has for us, even when it looks hard, even when it looks painful, even when we can't see the light, even when everything is dark? That dark night of the soul consumes you, but we do not have to be overcome by our experience, because your identity goes beneath your experience into the very nature of God itself. So I challenge you, your mantra, should you choose to accept it, Water's Edge, is yes, thank you. And I would encourage you, really, this has changed my life. I mean that. This has changed my life. I have struggled with depression, with anger, sadness. I have struggled with every emotion you can possibly imagine. And the one thing that grounds me in the love of God is this. I wake up early in the morning and I find a quiet place. Be still and know that I am God. You're not. Be still. And I sit down, and sometimes it may feel like I don't have much to be grateful for. Sometimes it may feel like I don't have much to be thankful for. But I sit down and I get real quiet and I say, thank you. And even if I have nothing to be thankful for, thank you for this breath. In this breath, thank you that I woke up this morning. Thank you that I can look back on my history, on my life. Thank you that I can look back and now all those hardships, all those pains, all those nights where I cried myself to sleep, I can call it the grace of God. I don't wish the suffering upon you, but I wish the grace from the suffering upon you, because I stand here, formerly a person that could only think about their own interests. I stand here with compassion in my heart. I stand here with love in my heart. And some of us have been through a hard year. Some of us have been through a hard decade. I encourage especially you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because I really do trust you. Thank you, God, because it's all really in your hands. Thank you. I believe that it all works together for the good of me. Let me pray over you, and I thank you so much for listening today, guys. I thank you so much, Water's Edge, for who you are. I thank you so much for the family that we get to choose here. I thank you so much for the refuge that we get to choose here. I thank you for not turning your eyes away from suffering. I thank you because of you and your hearts, we're able to feed those that need food, because you don't turn your eyes from the suffering. You don't avert your eyes. It's very real. And we clothe. And we feed because you care. Because you care. I thank you.